Today on Real Radio.
And we know by now, we know this man's life, having spent so much time studying Saul, that he's a man driven by his emotions. And when he had rejected God and God had rejected him and removed his spirit from him, remember the scripture says that an evil demonic spirit came and began to torment him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Recently, we covered chapters 26 through 28 simply because of how they all dovetail together. Now, we're examining chapter 28 specifically today. This is where King Saul consults a medium, something that is strictly forbidden by the God of Israel. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called The Spiritual Realm.
I'm not even going to ask you if you're visiting tonight, because I don't want to even go through that. If you're visiting, first of all, we're glad that you're here. Welcome to Calvary. We're happy that you're here. Tonight is something totally different in this manner. We've been studying chapter by chapter, verse by verse through Samuel. And now we've come to, or we came to last week, this chapter 28, really chapter 26 through to 28. And we came to this portion of scripture where we looked at the impending demise of King Saul, a tragic story. And a lot of people have opinions about King Saul. I have my opinion about King Saul. You have your opinion about King Saul. And you got to remember something, that King Saul was a man that was appointed to the office of King of Israel by virtue of the fact that it was the will of who? The people. They asked, that is, Israel asked, that they might have a king like all the other nations. And so by doing that, graphically I present before you that collectively the children of Israel, as it were, got on a ladder. I mean, it was almost equal to the Tower of Babel. When they got up to the top, Nimrod there pulls out his arrows and begins to launch his arrows into the sky at Babel, there in Babylon, to try to shoot God down out of heaven that he might be the ruler of the world. Nimrod. He insulted God, so to speak, in that attempt. And then what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God then there sent confusion among the people there. They began to speak other languages. And from that point, that is the cradle of civilization. We just wound up invading it recently, remember? From that region of the world went out the languages of the world. What's interesting about that is linguistic and archaeological science and forensics in this area have done what? They have not only traced all languages back to one tongue in the area of Iraq today, but also biologically, and this has been going on for quite a few years now, they trace through DNA, through hematology and archaeological forensics and hematology, they have now traced back our original bloodline to a woman who lived somewhere in the area of the cradle, or what is known today as the cradle of civilization. Interesting. Who might that woman be? I think she goes by the name of Eve. I mean, this is interesting, fantastic science today. But when we consider Saul, the children of Israel did an equal type of insult like Nimrod did of old. The children of Israel looked around at all of the other nation states around them. They didn't have nations like we have nations today. They have what we would say nation states. They were tribes and tribal units of people, of descendants, and they usually went by tribal leader names or the lineage of such people. And so as they were gathered around there, as Israel was this nation and God wanting to rule it by a theocracy, God wanted to speak to his people and lead them, and they were to be unique above all people of the earth. And the Bible says that God chose the Jewish people, not because they're brilliant, but they are. They've become brilliant, you know, they're smart. Not because they're rich, but many of them are now. Not because they were mighty in power. No one tangles with the Israeli army or the Israeli Air Force anymore. But God says, I didn't choose you for these attributes that you think you have. I chose you because you are the most stubborn, the most difficult, arrogant people to work with on the whole planet. And so God said, I chose you. That's encouraging for us, isn't it? That if God can work with the Jewish people, he can work with us. And they are his chosen people, but not for any natural powers that they possess. But God says, quite frankly, because you're so stubborn, I've chosen you to show my glory in. But what that nation did was they said, wait a minute, we want a king like all the other nations of the world. We don't want an invisible God. We want somebody who we can look at, an icon, a figurehead, somebody who can ride around in a black donkey, black camel, you know, motorcade. Somebody that we can recognize as our leader. We don't have to have faith. We just look at him and we'll do fine. And he can go in and out and fight our battles for us. And so Samuel was beginning to scold the nation of Israel for that carnal approach. And God says, Samuel, just put a lid on it. Just be quiet. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. They don't want me. So I'll give them a king. I'll give them what they want. I'll give them a man who's tall in stature, somebody they can't miss in a crowd. A man who's really, really good looking, because that's important to them. Because I'm invisible, I'll give them something the exact opposite. They can focus their attention on him. That's what they want, that's what I'll give them. Be careful what you ask of from God. The Bible says often, as it does in the Exodus, when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, they were whining and crying and whining and crying. They wanted to have meat. They were sick and tired of manna. Remember? They said, this manna, we have it in the morning, we have it in the afternoon, we have it in the evening, we're tired of this manna. And so they complained again. So God says, you want meat? You want meat? I'll give you meat. And it says that an east wind began to blow and quail began to fly into the camps of Israel just at the height of a man's chest. And a man could pick up a stick and began to beat the quail that were flying by. That's quite low. And people were beginning to whack these quail as they're flying by. And it's quite funny. It says every man was able to collect for himself a homer. Well, a homer, you see, a homer. A homer's a weight of measurement in the Old Testament. But they had bats and they're hitting a homer. Anyway. And the Bible says that they had so much meat that as they began to eat meat, that the meat began to come out of their nose, out of their nostrils. You ever choked on a burger or something and it comes out of your nose? God did that to the children of Israel, but it says he gave them the meat that they asked for, but he sent leanness into their soul. You know what that means? It means they became complacent about the things of God. They didn't care. So now we see Israel in a place where the king has now lived the days of his life appointed by God. And we studied in depth last time how in chapter 28, Saul is in a panic. He's been pursuing David, who is now God's appointed king, yet to take the throne. And Saul now is at such a desperate place that God is no longer speaking to him. He mismanaged the throne. He would not listen to God. And years had gone by. God's mercy, God's grace, God's patience. Saul would still not turn and listen to God. And then the Bible said that God took his spirit from Saul. Removed himself from him. Isn't it awesome to think tonight that perhaps none of us, I don't know everyone in this room, but let's just assume for a moment we're all believers, we will never know by the grace of God what that's like. To have God's spirit taken away from you, we'll never know. The Bible says that God's spirit removed himself from Saul, and Saul was on his own in the world. There's no more horrible condition I can imagine than to be a leader like this man, a national leader, and to have no direction. He's truly like a ship on the sea with no rudder. And we know by now, we know this man's life, having spent so much time studying Saul, that he's a man driven by his emotions. And when he had rejected God and God had rejected him and removed his spirit from him, remember the scripture says that an evil demonic spirit came and began to torment him. And he would be crying one moment to David, "Oh, David, I'm so sorry I treat you so bad. My dear son, I love you." And David would come back into the palace, and what would Saul do? Pick up a spear and try to kill him. And then cry, "Oh, I'm so sorry, David. I don't know what got into me." He was insane, driven by his emotions. And now we see what we looked at last time. And that's in chapter 28, verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel had died, so the great kingmaker Samuel the prophet is now dead. And as Israel lamented for him, they buried him." Verse 4, "Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped. And as they were gathered there, they encamped at Gilboa." I'm going to skim down to get to the point tonight of what we need to discuss. And you look at verse 7, "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium.'" Find somebody who's a spiritist, a soothsayer. Find somebody who's dabbling in witchcraft. Find me something like that, "that I may go to her and inquire of her." I need answers. So the man who once knew God stooped to the level of consulting demons. So he goes to a channeler. And his servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor." So Saul disguised himself and he put on his other clothes and he went, and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct for me a seance." He's going to call up the dead. He wants to inquire from the world beyond. "Bring up for me one that I shall name to you." Then the woman, verse 9, said to him, "Look, you know what the king has said, what Saul has done, how he has cut off from the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay the snare before my feet to cause me to die?" And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall befall you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, now listen, everyone, watch this. Many people, you've called the church, or you've gotten a hold of me, and you're asking these questions. And so tonight, we're just going to have a round table kind of fireside chat. Here's where it begins. Your question's this: who came up from the dead when this happened? That's been your questions. You've also asked questions about, is demonic activity real? Well, follow along here. And would God allow, if it is even Samuel, to come back from the dead? Let's look at this. Verse 11, "Then the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' And he said, 'Bring up Samuel for me.'" Everybody knew who Samuel was, including this witch. He was probably more famous than Saul, because he was a man of God. Verse 12, "When the woman saw," what does the Bible say? Samuel. What did she do? She cried out with a loud voice. Why? She freaked out. You want to know why she freaked out? It was not some familiar spirit that she was used to working with. She was used to either A, ripping people off for money, or 2, channeling demonic spirits to gather information about a person's life, impress them, lead them astray, because Satan is involved in leading people astray. He loves it. That's why the Bible says you shall not suffer a false prophet to live. Why? Is God mean? No, because if someone leads you astray, they lead your soul astray. That's why God is so upset about the cults. And that's why Jesus also prophesied and said in the last days, just before he returns back to earth, there would be a plethora, there would be many, countless numbers of cults all around the world. And those cults, by the way, would have a theme. And that theme would denounce the deity of Christ and exalt their own leader or leaders as being a god or gods themselves. What's interesting about cults is that everybody gets to be a god except Jesus Christ. They exalt mankind and they tear down the deity of Christ. They all have that demonic link in their vein. So she says, who? He says, Samuel. She cries out, verse 12, when she sees him with a loud voice, "And the woman spoke to Saul and saying, 'Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul.'" What's happening here? The truth is coming out. not from a witch. What is God doing? Don't make this mistake. And listen, let's just talk tonight. I'm gonna give you a chance to ask questions in a moment, but let's just dialogue. We're not going to go on to the next chapter next week until you get your questions answered here in this area. Because I am not going to have you turn on these cult programs to find out what they say. These loony, wacko, demonic, possessed, weird people who are so nice. These people know the future, you know. Dionne Warwick knows the future. I have a hard time consulting Dionne Warwick, who can't even find the way to San Jose. Why would I talk to her when she doesn't even know the way to San Jose? She's supposed to know the future. How cool. Her whole movement went into bankruptcy. Couldn't she see it coming? And then what about that Cleo gal who was supposed to have been Jamaican? She wasn't even Jamaican. And she went bankrupt. Couldn't she see it coming? If she's accurate, how come she didn't see it coming? Oh, call me. I'll tell you about your life. She didn't even know about her own life. These things will come out in time. What's happening is here, the demonic realm is not exposing the truth. God is intervening in the situation. He's freaking out the witch. He's got a message for Saul. And he's going to do something that he doesn't normally do. And that is, he's going to allow the spirit of Samuel to speak. How do we know? Well, let's keep reading. Let the Bible speak and teach us from its own pages. Verse 13, and the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit. Technically, she used the word Elohim, not to panic. She's not saying I saw God. She's saying I have seen a supernatural spirit. I have seen a being from the other world ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. That was a mantle of authority, by the way. Samuel wore a mantle. He was a prophet. Right about then, Saul, being a good Jewish boy, is quite hairy, I'm sure, and the hair is standing straight up. He hears from her, the man is ascending. He's old. He has a mantle. He's a man of authority. He's Samuel. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Verse 15. Now, look what your Bible says. Samuel said to Saul. It doesn't say a spirit said to Saul or the spirit said to Saul, lowercase s. It says Samuel. The Bible says Samuel said to Saul. Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by the prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called upon you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. This is so vital. And you could take this verse 15 and have a tremendous Bible study. Because if somebody who's professing and confessing to know God, if God's not speaking to them, Christian, be careful to not speak to them either. I'm not saying be mean to them and rude. If someone is consulting God and God's not saying, listen, church, if someone is consulting God and God's not telling, maybe he doesn't want to say anything. Maybe that person's not listening just right. Maybe God's teaching them patience. Maybe they've sinned and he's not speaking to them based upon Isaiah chapter 59. He's not talking. It's God's prerogative not to speak or to speak. That's his business. But when somebody says, God's not talking to me, I don't know what's going on. You know what you can say? You can say, I'll pray for you. But when they start to say, you know, I just can't get an answer from the Lord. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should take that job or not? Listen, I'm telling you right now, I will not answer you when you come and ask me like that. And I'm encouraging you as a Christian, don't answer your brother or sister. If God's not answering them, don't answer them. You're not God. I'm not God. Let them seek the Lord. Let Him speak to them. He's able. The funny thing is, you say, well, Pastor, I rarely hear from God. I'm convinced God's always speaking. We're not always listening. That's the big problem. Sometimes we just need to learn how to listen. Get still. Turn off the TV and turn off the radio and, you know, put the kids to bed. Pick an hour. Set your alarm if you have to. Get up at 2 a.m. I guarantee, even if you do, I've done that before. It doesn't matter. Set your alarm at 2 a.m. Get up. The phone will ring. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that funny? Hi, we're selling the new carpet cleaner. It's a spiritual thing. But get alone with God. Talk to Him. Seek Him. If you're not hearing God speak, please, Christian, don't go run to some human and try to get a voice in your ear that way. That's a dangerous thing to do. If God's not talking, wait and ask Him why. He does a horrible thing. No one's talking to me. So here's the deal. I'm going to use a witch who's demonically possessed to get some godly information. The end does not justify the means. This guy's so whacked out, it's pathetic. He's a mess. He says, what should I do at the end of verse 15? Then Samuel said, why then do you ask me? Seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy. And the Lord has done for Himself as He spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey, and here's the judgment, verse 18. This is a warning to all of us. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute His fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And then verse 20, Saul goes in to his already too late act of submission to God. So here's what is important tonight. Understand this. Jot it down in your Bible. These are some of the questions that came to me this week as a result of last Wednesday. Can a Christian be possessed by a demonic spirit? Before I answer that question, I want to ask you this one. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you cannot be possessed by a demonic spirit. Impossible. Yeah, but I heard on Channel 40. That's why I don't watch Channel 40. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God says, through the Apostle Paul, the Lord speaks concerning you, a Christian, who has been redeemed by the Holy Spirit. He says He dwells in you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Spiritual Realm. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, the account of King Saul as he consulted with a medium. We'll continue with more of The Spiritual Realm on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been in this Old Testament book for a while, and if you missed any part of it, not a problem. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of 1 Samuel all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach called Real Radio. Call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, 1 Samuel on MP3 CD. Visit us today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you prefer, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or our telephone number if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.